like me doing the reading then. Does anybody else want to do reading today? First one's the microphone. Oh, here's Elaine. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you. Sorry, I was asked to do this and I totally forgot. Matthew 6, 5 to 13, page 970. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, maybe you've come to church today hoping to escape hearing about the coronavirus. Well, apologies for that, because that's where we're going to begin, right at the beginning. Here's one church's take on it, which I rather liked. I didn't quite dare to put this one up outside our church, but it's certainly a good thing. And I'm going to actually start. This doesn't happen very often in a sermon. I'm going to start by quoting one of our LMA or parish policies, and we have a draft parish policy already on the coronavirus, and this is where it begins, and it's just a good way to begin, I think, as we look at this really important topic in a moment. Our policy begins by quoting Psalm 18. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And then the opening words of our policy document say this: while acknowledging the real risk and potential danger to life, we remind ourselves that our God is in control. We are his people, safe in his hands, and we will not fear. In this time of national anxiety and panic, the church has a duty to point people to the one who offers eternal life. And as such, we will do our best to be available to serve our community in this time of need. There's lots more to the document, and we're still working on bits of it. But basically it says we are here, but we understand that you may not be able to be here with us for the next few weeks or months. There may be times you need to self-isolate, or there may be times you'll be ill, but we will be here for you, serving you as best as we can. The topic for this morning was set to be prayer, prayer for beginners, how to begin to pray if you're not very good at it, how to improve your prayer if you're really good at it, and how to be a praying person and how we can be a praying church. And I set this a long time ago. It was suggested by Lindy before Christmas that we did a topic on prayer. And I said, I'd like to do one about the basics of prayer and to get people praying. And it was put in the calendar and left there as something that would be happening on the 15th of March. And I did think perhaps I should change it in the light of all that's going on in the world. And I thought, no, the most important thing, in fact, sometimes the only thing we can be doing to help people at the moment is prayer. So I think this topic is more important than ever. So I'm really glad that, I'm sure God inspired this, that this was going to be the topic for today, set all those months ago. One thing in when you have a new vicar in the church, like you have, is you find out more and more about them as time goes on, and it becomes a bit confessions of a vicar. So here's another story for you from me and my childhood. Does anyone know what that is? A bus. Anyone know any more about it? Double-decker, right, okay. My confession here is this confession. I used to be a bit of a bus geek when I was a kid, okay, growing up as a teenager. And I would collect bus numbers from right across the West Midlands. And there's quite an expert on the West Midlands Passenger Transport Executive fleet of buses, of which this is one of them, the 107 service, which runs from Sutton Coalfield to the centre of Birmingham. It's actually quite a rare bus, this one. And the reason is it's a Volvo bus, a Volvo Ailsa bus made in Scotland. See how geeky I am about it all. And what was special about that as a child, as going on this bus, it was very different from all the other buses that are on service across the West Midlands county when I was growing up. For a simple reason is, if you went on it and downstairs towards the back, there were some seats that faced backwards. And this was very exciting as a child to be able to travel backwards. You had these seats on the back. Most of them, just buses have seats facing walls, but this particular model of bus had buses. So I remember this as a child, being able to get on and go backwards. I wonder if you like travelling backwards. We're going to do a little bit of backwards travelling today as we look at prayer, as we unravel this whole topic. Because I started with the words in Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray. And then I was going to talk about, well, it's important we pray, and then I'm going to talk about prayer meetings. But that led back, well, before you think about going to a prayer meeting, maybe it's good you sort out personal prayer, which maybe start thinking about, well, why is that important? Why pray? Which led me back then to thinking, why don't we pray? What are the reasons? And I kept going backwards in my mind. So this is a little backwards story, maybe, if you like. I've gone all the way back to the beginning. So we're travelling backwards a little bit. Just before we begin and tackle this subject, we're going to pray. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will make us a praying people, personally and corporately. In this time with crises raging around us, we pray that we will be people rooted in you, rooted in prayer. So challenge us this morning as we look at your word and as we consider the importance of this topic. We pray that you will call us to be a praying people. Amen. So we begin with, what is prayer? Christian prayer is the most important activity of our lives. It's the purpose, really, why you and I were created, to be in a relationship with God who made us. One way of thinking about it, if you like, is a bridge which joins us with God. And we can communicate with the God of the whole universe. Isn't that amazing? And when we think about it, and he can and wants to communicate with us. It's that bridging of the two, of the human and the divine. Isn't that amazing when you think about it? I like that picture of the bridge, Clifton Suspension Bridge, if you're thinking, where is it? And have you been across it? I've been across it. And I think that was the time I last prayed really seriously because I was terrified. I hate heights. And I had to, I confess, I had to hold Joanne's hand all the way across this bridge. And part of it I was closing my eyes for. It is very, very scary. But it's a good picture, that bridge between us. The book of Ephesians in the Bible says, through Jesus, we have access to the Father by one Spirit. How we see the whole Trinity at work there. Through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. Prayer is to the Father. And Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. And that sums up God's distance and his closeness. We thought about those two words. On the one hand, he's in heaven. He's out there, a long way away. We can't reach his perfectness. He's distant from us. He's the creator of the whole universe. And yet, you'd think he'd be unapproachable and reachable. But what do we call? We're told to call him Father, our Father in heaven. Isn't that amazing? God is our Father. Jesus called God Abba, which I know that Jamie featured a little bit last week, and I'm not going to include any more Abba bits for you. But it's an Aramaic word, it's left in its original form in many of our Bibles because we can't really translate it. It's a bit like daddy, a bit like dear father, loved father, that sort of thing. Jesus said we could have that sort of relationship with God Almighty, that intimacy, that closeness. Our Christian prayers to the Father. Christian prayers to the Father through the Son, Jesus. That's what Paul says. We have access to God through the Son, through Jesus. Jesus takes us into the presence of Almighty God. We've got no right to go into God's presence of our own right, but through Jesus, because of what he's done on the cross, we can have access to the Father. Christian prayer to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. Sometimes people say, I don't really know what to pray. And that's what Paul says. He says, we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So when we pray, the whole Trinity is involved. Isn't that exciting? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Prayer. Prayer. It's exciting. That's all good so far. And good stuff to start with. So why don't we pray? If it's also natural, why are we not doing it more? Why are we not people of prayer? Because many of us have to confess that we don't. It's a good way of embarrassing a fellow Christian, they say. Ask them about their prayer life. And even vicars struggle. There's nothing magical that happens when you become a vicar that suddenly makes you find prayer a whole lot easier. We want to have powerful prayers. We want to have prayers that change the world. And we want to be people of prayer. But it's hard. It's really hard. And there are all sorts of reasons why we don't pray. And we're going to look at them now, some reasons why we don't pray, and then try and inspire you to get over these. So some reasons why we don't pray. Lots of reasons in our life. Pride. We think, I can do this myself. I was very guilty, and I realised when I worked for many years as a head teacher, it's a scary job being a head teacher, and all sorts of things happen. And I would get up early in the morning, and I would pray for the day ahead. It was good. When it was the school holidays, I thought, I can handle this, God. Nothing scary is going to happen today. It's just a walk out for the day and easy. I don't need to pray. Pride. I can do this on my own. We shouldn't have a day off from prayer. Pride. Unbelief. We may think it doesn't make a difference. What's the point of praying? We fail to believe that it makes a difference, especially for those big things. When we're praying about famine, world poverty, the coronavirus, the big things happening in the world, what do our little prayers make? That's unbelief, and it gets to us and stops us praying. Another one, time. We're too busy, or so we say, to pray. There's so many other things pressing in our mind. That can be another one. Ignorance. We can be unaware of needs. We don't pray because we're unaware of what's going on. We don't pay attention to the needs of our friends or what's going on in the world. We're not up to speed with the news, and we're not aware, so we don't pray. Tiredness. It takes an effort to pray. I don't know about you, often I start off praying and then I feel a bit tired and it's hard work and you give up sometimes when you're praying. Tiredness. We might think this is a job for others. I'm a person of action. I'll do it, and other people are called to be the prayers. They're called to be people of prayer. Not me. That's another reason we give. Things like that. Failure. I won't start because I know I can't keep it up. I remember when I first became a Christian years ago, say somebody, that I started praying. I tried to pray every day, and then after a week or so, I gave up. And I've tried lots of times to do it, and I don't do it, so I won't bother at starting. At fear of failure is giving up. Here's one here. It says, Eugene, you shared the same prayer request for 47 years. Now either forget about it or buy yourself a pony. We're scared that we're going to pray and nothing might happen, or that we're going to fail at our prayer in some way, some of the things like that. So another way is fear. We sometimes keep our distance from God because we're a bit scared he might ask us to do something scary, like give it all up and move to Africa, or to go and be a priest in the church in Wales, as happens to some of us. And we don't really want to get that intimate God because he might ask us to do something, and we just want to keep a bit of our own controls. So all those different reasons, but on the whole, you can see from the initials reading downwards, why don't we pray? Because we've got this tendency, haven't we, to put it off. another day, sometime in the future. Yep, I'll set aside time to pray. Sometime I'll take this seriously. When life is a little busy, when I feel called to, I put it off. And we never get around to setting aside a regular prayer time in our lives, or in fact in joining with a church session of prayer. We have lots of prayer at different times. So, why should we pray? Here's a good prayer. It says, "Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the kind of money where I don't really care either way." That sort of prayer that we can get sidetracked in and things like this. But why? Why should we pray? Well, when we realise prayer is simply talking and listening to God, then our Christian faith is about a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the most important factor in any relationship is communication. That's why it's so important. Nowadays, we have lots of ways of communicating one with another. If I come home really late in my house, I may find my wife has left me a little note, a friendly little note saying something like, "Your dinner is in the cat," or something like that. When we lived in Aberiron, I would often get texts from Joanne to say, "Please meet me off the bus, I've got some heavy shopping." And a text was a useful way of getting message across there. But the best way of all, better than notes and texts and emails, is actually talking one with another. And it's the same with God. Time spent chatting. This is what Jesus says. When you pray, go into your room, close the door. Pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Why do we pray? Well, first, because Jesus himself prayed and he taught us to do the same. And he doesn't start by saying, "If you pray, if you feel like praying, then do this." He says, "When you pray." He's assuming that we will pray. In a way, it's natural for humans to pray. We were built and created for this relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's how we develop a relationship with God. All relationships are based on communication. Marriages break down because of lack of communication. Families break down through lack of communication. Good communication and the relationship grows and flourishes. That's why Jesus says when we pray, God will reward us. Our relationship with God will become stronger and deeper. When we pray, we begin to experience God's love for us, his presence with us. We begin to experience joy. A lot of people looking for joy in all kinds of areas. And when they think they've got there, it doesn't satisfy. My favourite psalm in the Bible is Psalm 16, with that lovely verse, "In his presence, in the presence of God, is fullness of joy." In our time of national anxiety, and the Bible reminds us this. This is a lovely bit from Philippians. "Don't be anxious about anything." We need to hear that today. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, what? By prayer. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God. Something else the world needs to hear. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will keep your hearts and minds. Don't be anxious. Pray, and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we pray, the thirst that we have, the spiritual thirst, the spiritual hunger that we have is satisfied. It's met in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And prayer, it changes us, and it changes situations. I've often thought, I don't think it's possible really to prove to a cynic or a skeptic, I've tried it, that there is a God through giving lots and lots of illustrations of answered prayer. But I found it amazing when I look back over my life to see how God has answered my prayers, sometimes in quite amazing sort of ways, and got me in the right place doing the right things. It's just been incredible. I'll share just one with you, which is how I ended up here as a vicar, really. It was something I was involved in as a lay minister in the team in Bro Ystwyth and praying about whether I should give up my full-time job as head teacher and go and serve God in the church in Wales. And I said to God, I prayed about it, you've got to make this very, very clear, God, because I know I was called to be a head teacher where I am. In the first week, when I was in my school, at the school gates, a group of parents came to me and said, you're the Christian head teacher we've been praying for. We've had a prayer meeting in the village. We've been praying that a Christian will be appointed. You're the one, and we're so glad that you've come to join us. So I knew that God had sent me there. And so in order to leave the school and to go off, I needed to be assured that this was God's will for me, that it was free for me to go. As a family, we had gone on to the Sunday school trip with Eglwys Santa's Fire. My children were in the Sunday school there, and we had a lovely trip up to Harlech. I say it was a lovely trip. It was pouring with rain all day. And if you've ever been up to Harlech Castle in the rain, you can picture what it's like. The wind coming across the rain. Larry was probably there with us on that very day. And so she'll remember this as well. And there may be others here who are on that trip. And we'd gone up on the train, and we're waiting for the train to come back. And the train finally came in. It was running late because of all the rain and the storm that was around. And unfortunately, as a group, we couldn't sit together as a Sunday school trip, and we couldn't even sit together as a family. We had to split ourselves up on this carriage. It's full of people. And you know, it's like you get onto a train and you start looking around for the empty seats and think, who are the safe people to sit next to, you know, because you don't end up next to that weirdo that's going to talk to you during the journey, do you really? So you look around. So I found what I thought was a really safe seat. I sent my family further down and I sat down next to this little old lady, and I thought, she's going to be quite safe. I'm going to sit down next to her. And we got chatting. It turned out she was originally from Aberaeron, and she said how nice it was to hear Ceredigion accents, which was lovely for me to hear as a Brummie. So that was fun. We were chatting in Welsh, which is probably why maybe my accent, Ceredigion accent, is stronger in Welsh. And we got her chatting. She said to me, "What do you do?" And I said, "I'm a head teacher of a school." And she just said, "Have you ever thought about being a church minister? Because I think God is calling you to go and be a minister in the church." And I said, "That's amazing," I said, "because I've just been praying that God would send me a sign that this would be the way." And she said, "This is what God is calling for." So she got out a notebook from her handbag and said, "Can I have your name, please?" And she took my name, it's a bit odd. She said, "Because when people are made vicars in the church, they publish a list of them in the papers of the ones that are being ordained. So I'm going to look out for the next few years, and I'm sure that I'm going to see your name there when you are ordained." I've got no idea who she was. I didn't take her name. And I tell this story a bit in the hope that one person in the congregation will say, "I was that lady." It hasn't happened yet. Maybe it will as this goes out online. I don't know. But she was that confident that I was going to end up as a church in Wales. And that was lovely for me. There were other examples as well. But I prayed, God answered and led me the way. A real answer to prayer. We pray and God answers us in our prayers. Prayer does change situations. Prayer does change us. Prayer is vital. So you say, "Mark, then, does God always answer prayer?" What are you going to say to that? "Because I've tried it and it doesn't work. What's going wrong?" And that's a good question to ask, isn't it? Does God answer prayer? Well, yes, he does, but we don't always get what we want. Lots of reasons why. Let's just have a look at a few, just to think through this morning. For a start, God won't act in a way that's inconsistent with his nature. So you can't pray that 2 and 2 will equal anything else but 4, because it can't. That's how the system's set up, and that's how it works. There are some things that are set. There are some things that stop our prayers being effective. Unconfessed sin in our lives. If we're setting out on a course of rebellion against God, going the wrong way, God will not bless us in going that wrong in that wrong way. He'll call us back. Maybe we've got wrong motives. Apostle James says, "You don't have because you don't ask God. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So in other words, if we're praying, "Lord, I want to win the lottery this week," there's no guarantee that that prayer will be answered for you. What are your motives? There are things as well we get wrong. We misunderstand what God's will is for us. When we pray, God promises to answer, but he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Sometimes we get our ideas wrong and we have to stand back and trust God that he knows best. Sometimes God says no to us because he loves us. John Stott puts it like this: God says no if the things are not good in themselves, or not good for us, not good for others, directly or indirectly, immediately or ultimately. We can't see the future, but God can. Sometimes we get surprising answers to prayer and things that wonder why God answered a particular prayer in that particular way, in the way that we hoped he would. Sometimes, it's a hard fact, but in this life, we're never going to know always why he didn't answer a particular prayer in the way that we'd hoped. I've prayed for people to be healed, and they haven't been. And some of them have died. I prayed for situations to get better, and they've got worse. And I don't know why. And I have to trust in my God. And it can be difficult. A memorable one this week. You may think this is a strange story to tell, but it stays in my mind as I prepared this on prayer this week. I prayed a really important, intensive prayer this week for my rabbit Candles, who was ill. On Thursday, I went to the hutch, and she was looking very ill, so I picked her up and held her in my arms, and I prayed as I held her in my arms for God to heal her. At that very second, she died in my arms. I thought, wow, what's going on here? This is not what I wanted in prayer. And I did think, partly, come on, God, I'm talking about prayer on Sunday. You can do better than this and bring her back from the dead or whatever. So I was thinking that, but I thought, that was the answer that I had. And that it wasn't to be a yes for that sort of healing. Candle, she was out of her pain and died there. We don't know why God works in a particular way, or why he doesn't. And we pray, and we see amazing things happen. And I've got lots of exciting stories to tell you about prayer. And I've got lots of stories to tell you of when I prayed, and not much happened. And I don't seem to be getting answers. But I still trust God. I still trust my Father. There have been so many blessings, so many lovely answers to prayer in my life, that I have to keep on trusting. Trusting, even though not all of my prayers seem to be answered. Despite whatever happens, I know that God loves me and I trust him. So prayer, it's important. How do we start making prayer happen? All you need is that word start. This is what you remember, schedule. If you're thinking now, you're sitting there thinking, haven't done much praying this week, or I only ever pray randomly or when it occurs to me. What about scheduling it? Giving it a time and a place in your diary. I was so grateful when I worked here as a church administrator. I think Stuart Bell, the previous rector, saw that I wasn't talented in all aspects of administration, and he sent me on a management training course with the University of Wales in Aberystwyth up here, and I was sent off with all the top people of the university who were in charge of the art centre and heads of department and things like this, and here was I just as a church administrator. And we had some training in management training, and we were taught there, don't have a to-do list of things to do. But everything you need to do has to have a time in your diary. Everything is allocated a time, and work with a diary. All tasks assigned to time. So in your diary, we need to assign a time to pray. Set aside time to pray. When is up to you. Some people find it best first thing in the morning before the business of the day. Others lunchtime. Others in the evening. It might be different on different days. You may find that during the working week, Monday to Friday, it's really good to pray at 6 o'clock every morning. But you don't want to get up maybe at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning. You might like to schedule a different time then. So be flexible. Work it out, but schedule it. Make it happen. Schedule it daily and allow longer times to pray. When I was appointed here as vicar, I made a promise to myself that as well as praying each day, I would schedule one day every 2 months to go down to Faldebrennen Christian Retreat Centre and spend a day in prayer, Bible study and reflection. And I mark that aside, and it happens regularly in my diary because it's important that we pray and mark time and put it aside to pray. So schedule it. Think now, when would it fit in your life? And that would be different to the person next to you and the people around you. It doesn't matter. Just schedule it. Make it happen. Tailor-made. Plan what you do. Make it fit you. You can sing, read, shout, walk, sit, kneel, light a candle, use liturgy, use the gift of tongues. Whatever works for you, make it work for you. You can experiment with different ideas and you may discover new ways of praying. Be creative in your prayer. How it works, make sure it's something that is working for you. How you can meet with God. It should be time alone with God. Prayer is great with others. I'll be talking about that as we close in a moment. It's lovely to go to a prayer meeting and have the privilege of listening to others pray and to pray with them. But the root of prayer is just two of you, you and God. And not even with your spouse, and not even with friends or house group, but time alone, you and God. And wherever that can be, however you can fit that in, that's really important. Request help. One thing I've discovered was quite strange when I first heard about it is to pray about praying better. And even to pray, I pray that God will give me a greater love for him. That sounds odd, that we ask God to help us to love him more, to be more excited about him. But it works. We can pray and ask God to help us with our commitment to pray. Ask him to inspire us to pray more. Even just pray to get out of bed in the morning and go and pray. Liberty Harris, a former member here, had a lovely quotation. She said she used to, this is what used to happen in the morning. She'd be lying in bed, and this was her first prayer in waking. Lord, she would say, please help me to get one foot out of bed. If you do that, I'll do the other one. And that's great, isn't it? We've got to make the effort. It's not easy, but God will help us. And if that's what it takes, Lord, help me to get one foot out of bed. It's cold out there. I'll do the other one. You just help me with that first one. Request help. And really important, and this is probably the most important, is try again. Because it goes wrong. And we stop and we give up and things happen and crises come and we stop praying and we get out of the habit of it. Start it all over again. Reboot. A helpful book I found on prayer, one of the most modern ones written now, is Pete Gregg's How to Pray. Nice, easy title to remember. How to Pray by Pete Gregg. You can get it from the bookshop. He uses the Lord's Prayer as a template and just use a simple acronym. I like acronyms because you can remember them. Pray. Pause. Rejoice. Ask. And yield. Simple. So how you do it, it's up to you. But make sure this is part of your walk as a Christian. I want to challenge all of us today to consider the time that we allocate to prayer in our lives, personal and with others. Is it enough? Could we do more? And the two live in balance. If we pray regularly at home, it makes prayer meetings much more exciting when you go. And if you go to a church prayer meeting, it inspires you to go home and pray some more. The two work hand in hand. If you're at home self-isolating, you're listening to this on the podcast through Church Suite, why not spend this time learning to pray, to really pray, to spend time honestly in the company of your Heavenly Father? Because we all need to take this seriously. If you're happy to join with us, have a look in the notice sheet or online. We've got lists of all of our church prayer meetings. They have all different sorts of flavours, different times of days. There should be one that should suit you. Don't, please, don't try and come to all of them. That's not the point. Some people say to me, you've got far too many prayer meetings. I couldn't go to all of those. That's not the point. We don't want you to go to all of them. We want you to choose one and adopt it as your prayer meeting. You can join us on Monday night in St. Anne's if you live up near Penparky. Tuesday morning here in church, breakfast prayer. On a Wednesday morning, breakfast and prayer here in church. Join us for prayer in Welsh on Thursdays in St. Mary if you'd like to pray in Welsh. There's more formal morning prayer, the Office of Morning Prayer in Holy Trinity on Thursday mornings. Friday evening here, relaxed time of prayer together after the working week. There's lots of opportunities. Choose one and make it your time of prayer. So as we finish this morning, just want to challenge you. Have you got that time set aside in your life for prayer, for spending time in the company of God? And what about adopting one of the church prayer times anywhere in the parish and making that your prayer time? Let's close as we began with prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who answers prayer. Thank you for the gift of prayer, for the joy that it is to come and spend time in your presence. I pray that you will help each one of us to grow in our relationship with you through this. And as we see fear, anxiety, and panic in those around us at this time, may we be people who are firmly rooted in you. And we do not fear, for we know your love, your protection. And may we be people who are praying for those around us who have open eyes and are bringing things to you in our prayer. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.